We continue our study of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. So we read the Word of God in Luke 1, beginning at verse 57. Seeing Zacharias' sign that he was given his son, and now his song. Luke 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. It came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And he said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Our text are the verses 67 through 69. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. The Song of Zacharias, also called Benedictus, from the Latin phrase, the first line of the song, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Zacharias' mouth is opened and his tongue is loosed, and he sings. You'll notice that the song could be divided into two. It really is comprised of two sentences. Even though in Hebrew and Aramaic poetry, usually very short sentences, concise statements, these are very long statements with all kinds of modifiers. Two sentences in this song. The first part deals with the salvation, and it praises God for having provided salvation for his people, having provided salvation for his people in fulfillment of his prophecy and of his covenant. God is faithful. And then the second part of the song, verse 76. Zacharias is able by prophecy to see the child's mission. He is going to be the way preparer for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who preaches the gospel of the remission of sins. The way prepare for him who is the day spring from on high to give light to those that sit in darkness. John has just been given his name. We saw last week that that name John is very important. God is gracious. Beautiful names here. Zacharias, the Lord remembers his promise. Elizabeth, the Lord has not forgotten, but he stands ready. He's reliable, the trustworthy one. And now Zacharias, he writes that name John down on the tablet. And his mouth is loosened. God is gracious. What a name for John. You'll remember that Zacharias was in the temple praying. He was praying for the salvation of God's people. That prayer is answered, says the angel Gabriel. Zacharias and Elizabeth of old had prayed for a child. That prayer also is answered. A child is given to them. And now he had been silent for 10 months. God will have obedience, not sacrifice. Remember, boys and girls, that is what God also told King Saul. The Lord will have obedience, not sacrifice. And Zacharias had not obeyed. He did not believe the Lord's word. And so he was silent. Now, there is no obedience possible for you and me without sacrifice, namely the blood shed. But there is also no sacrifice without obedience that follows it. Yes, justification and sanctification go hand in hand. Sanctification is the fruit of our justification. He had been silent for 10 months. That was his chastisement for not believing. The Lord would have him silent for 10 months to ponder, to think about his unbelief. And that silence was to lead him then to the glory and the power of the Lord. He was silent in hope, and now his mouth is opened up, and it is filled with praise. Yes, the Lord is gracious, for you see here, chastisement is but for a season. He did not believe he deserved God's chastisement, continued chastisement, but chastisement is for a season. What a lesson for us to learn. At times the Lord has to chastise us too, doesn't he? Because of our small faith or because of our disobedience. But chastisement is only for a season. And then it's lifted. The Lord causes us to suffer until there is sorrow for our sins. And then he brings us salvation. And now his mouth is opened. beautifully opened with a song of praise. So notice with me, Zechariah's song, it is a song of prophecy. It is a song about a horn that has been raised up. It is a song of prophecy fulfilled. It is a song of prophecy. Zacharias is speaking here by faith. Faith that once was small, and he seemed that God could not do the impossible. But now faith speaks, and he takes God's word to heart, doesn't he? Faith speaking. That's what prophecy is. Faith telling forth. Speaking forth that which one knows, that which has been revealed to them, now is laying in the heart, and one cannot contain it, but one speaks forth. It's a proclamation of the truth. And through the prophets, God would bring his message to his people. The word prophecy means speak, tell forth. It might be the past, it might be the present, it might be the future. Zacharias was a prophet here, but in the New Testament, with the prophecy of Joel having been fulfilled, and that's why Peter quotes it in that sermon on Pentecost, you and I are all prophets, aren't we? This is our calling also when our mouths are opened to speak, to declare what God has revealed to us, to make known, to speak forth what the Lord has done. That's why the Lord gave us tongues to speak. That is why the Lord made his name known to us, not only that we may speak to him, but we may speak about him. What a calling we have, as so many grandparents are here this evening. What a calling we have as parents. Oh, those generations, the children and the children's children, to make known to them the marvelous works of God. And so Zacharias' mouth is open, and he is now finally able to reveal what the angel had spoken to him. He's able to reveal what the Lord has done. But he is a prophet also in the other sense of being able to predict what was going to take place. And even though Zacharias doesn't live to see actually John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord Jesus, he's able to speak of his work. His mouth is opened, his voice is recovered. And what is the first thing he does, boys and girls, when he finally has his voice? When he has his voice, does he first complain about it's been 10 months that I couldn't say a thing? No complaint, no grumbling. The first thing he does as he opens up his mouth is to praise God. To praise God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesied saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Is that the first thing you and I do when our eyes are opened at night, in the morning, and our mouths are opened? Is there a song in our heart that breaks forth in the morning? Or are we perhaps grumbling and complaining because it's 6 o'clock and the alarm clock has gone off and because we've got a busy day? And how does your day begin? What's the first thing that comes out of your and my mouth? Oh, those who are made prophets and priests and kings, may we open up our mouths beginning in the morning and then continuously praising God. Blessed, he says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. What that word really means is, let all people bless the Lord God. Let all people speak well of him. Speak well of him and speak well of what he has done. Speak well of the Lord in the way that the Lord deserves to be spoken of. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He right away brings in the covenant connection. Not only is there a God who is powerful and wonderful, but he is our God. He is my God. He is your God. Right away in the praise is that covenant relationship. That's what brings especially our praise of God. Notice it is a very sincere and it is an enthusiastic praise. Praise that we're going to hear from our children tonight. A praise that they have learned in school, a praise that they have learned in the congregation, so that even when the congregation is singing, you can hear the children singing sincerely or very enthusiastically. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Begins with praise. There's another thing I want you to notice from these verses, that this song is theocentric and it is Christocentric. What do I mean by that? It is not a humanistic song about John, who was given. It's nothing about self. Zacharias doesn't talk about how joyful he and old Elizabeth are that they have a son in their old age. It's nothing about him. But as the song begins, as it unfolds, it is all about the Lord God of Israel who has done something. It's all about this horn of salvation that has been raised up. It's a song about the faithfulness and the goodness and the greatness of God. Oh yes, like the young boy is called, the Lord is gracious. And so he speaks then in these next verses in this song about the salvation of God's people, redemption that is given to them, and also their hope. Hope in the one in who is going to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the way always needs to be prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? We need the gospel preached in order to know our sins so that when the Savior is presented, the Savior from sin, we know our need for him, our dire need for him, and we love God forgiving him. Yes, Zacharias is able to sing this song all about God and his Savior, the Christ, because he knew the desperate condition of Israel, how they were in the very shadow of death. In verse 74, he sings that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear. He is able to see the hope that comes to those who sit in darkness as the morning light, or as Malachi says in Malachi chapter 4, the sun has risen with healing in its wings, dispelling the darkness of our sins. In this Christmas season, may we have that vision of Christ Jesus, that hope. Christ Jesus came into this world as the Son of Righteousness with healing, dispelling, chasing away all the darkness of your and my sins, of all the sins of his people. Hope. Hope in the one now who not only has healed us, has not only delivered us, but the one who leads us, verse 79, in the way of peace. All the way my Savior leads us could be our song. Not only has he rescued us, he's not only the Moses that brings us out of Egypt, but he is the Joshua who brings us into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. Why? Why is there this hope? Because this one that has been raised up has already been conceived in the womb of Mary. Zacharias knew that. For you boys and girls will remember that Mary, when she finds out that she's going to have a baby, that the Holy Spirit is going to give her that baby, conceive that baby in her, she goes to her Aunt Elizabeth. And Elizabeth knows that Mary is the mother of her Lord. What joy! Zacharias sees this all unfolding. Yes, God has visited and the Lord has raised up a Savior for his people. I want you to notice that this is a song that is sung because Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. We read in verse 67, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying." When filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are also filled with the Word of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are able to say things, we're able to see things that otherwise we could not. Or to put it in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How does one understand God? How does one understand spiritual things? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of man, of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Zacharias is filled with that Spirit, and that is why he is able to see. That is why he is able to speak these wonderful things, this theocentric, this Christocentric song. And that is the only way, beloved, that you and I also are able to be prophets of the Most High God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, the beauty of regeneration. How we pray for that when our children are baptized. New hearts, wherein God himself dwells by his Spirit, that new life that is able to know God, know the things of God, and then speak and act. And what is this song really that Zacharias sings? It's not a song of his own. It's not a song that he makes up. It is a song that the Holy Spirit has given to him, a Holy Spirit that has given it to him in the Word. What Zacharias is really doing is he is singing the Psalms. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Listen a moment to just a couple Psalms that bring out that very concept, and it's those psalms that are coming to his mind and that he is now speaking in this song. Psalm 41, verse 13. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Or again, Psalm 72, verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Or again, Psalm 106, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, that refrain bubbles over in Zechariah's mind, and that is how he begins his song, with the Psalms. How beautiful as we listen to our children sing. How beautiful that our children learn the Psalms at home, hopefully. In the church, in the Christian schools, they learn the Psalms, and that becomes the song in their heart as they sing to the Lord and as they pray. They pray, they sing the Lord's words right back to Him. Blessed may all the people, forever and ever, from everlasting to everlasting, praise, declare the worth of our God and what He has done. Why now? What is the reason for calling God blessed in this song? And Zacharias lays it out in the very verse. He hath visited and redeemed His people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Let's look at that a moment. He has visited His people. That visit here means He's concerned with His people. He's concerned for their deep sin, for their darkness, for their helplessness. And when we read here that He is visited, literally it is, He has looked upon. He has looked with concern and with eagerness to help. We find that passage, He has visited His people various places in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 4, where Aaron and Moses tell the people how the Lord is going to save them from Egypt, and the people rejoice because the Lord has visited His people. And then later on in Luke chapter 7, we have the very same words again, how the Lord has visited His people. The idea is the Lord has looked upon them in their dire need and distress and is moved to help. Now, when we read that the Lord has visited, it does not imply that before He didn't care, that He disregarded them, that He was indifferent to their needs. But God waits, always waits for the fullness of time. The Lord is long-suffering in the period of the judges. Sometimes 22 years before the Lord would visit His people to deliver them, to redeem them from their oppressors. The Lord waits until the fullness of time. The Lord has looked upon them. Like a father and a mother looks upon their children in concern for them, in loving care for them, ready to help them, ready to stop them at times, ready to pull them out of trouble. How our children need that when they are young, and even when they're young adults. They need loving, caring persons. And Zechariah's song says, our God, blessed be the God of Israel. He's our Father who cares for us. who's moved to help us. What covenant faithfulness. What saving intervention to save us, to help us. He does the one thing that is absolutely necessary. The thing that was promised and was promised and was promised. And now it's going to take place. The Lord has visited his people, that is, he's looked upon them, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for them. Notice the past tense, the aorist that Zacharias used. The Lord has raised up. He doesn't say he's going to. He has raised up. Zacharias is well aware that the Christ child has already been conceived. He has been given. The Lord has raised up this son. The Lord has done something that we can't do. We could never provide that Savior. We could never of ourselves beget a child that would be able to deliver us, but God does what we can't do. He gives his only begotten son. He raises up this horn. There's a symbol being used here. The image of a horn. Horns are the strength of many animals where they're able to defend themselves from attackers or to attack. We read in Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." So the horn is a sign of strength. The horn is a symbol of power. Power to overcome all their enemies. In the Old Testament, when King Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to join him in battle against the Syrians, Jehoshaphat wants to hear a word of the Lord. And, of course, King Ahab has his own prophets, and the false prophet comes in. And he makes two horns of iron. And he says to Ahab and Jehoshaphat, "With these horns you will push back the enemy, and you will certainly conquer them." Now, that was a false prophet giving a wrong message. Yes, he uses the symbol of a horn for an iron horn for strength, power. He was a false prophet, and Ahab died in that battle. Zacharias sings, "What is this horn that Jehoshaphat should have looked for? The horn that God's people badly need, that strength and that power to overcome all of their enemies." And that horn is only one, our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it is described here as a horn of salvation. That describes the character of this horn, why he comes. He comes to rescue us, to deliver us from the bondage of sin. He comes to rescue us from the hands of Satan. Because of our fall in Adam, God gave us over to sin. We're under the curse. Oh, we need a most powerful Savior, don't we? A horn of salvation to deliver us. We need a Savior that not just tries to save. We need a Savior that not merely offers to save us if we're willing. That's not the Savior that we worship at Christmas time. But we serve a Savior who is powerful, and he saves every one of them for whom he has died. He saves every one of them of whom the Father has given to him to save. Not one of his chosen ones are lost. We have an efficacious Savior, not a wannabe Savior. A powerful Savior who suffered and died only for his elect people, not for all the people of the world. A Savior who wants to save everyone is a Savior that was not given. He's no Savior, for not everyone is saved. He will save his people from their sins. He is a horn of salvation that certainly gets the victory over all of our enemies. And we continue to read, a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Yes, David was that servant of the Lord, and this son of David is also going to be the obedient servant of the Lord. He is raised in the house of David, that royal seed, which was like a stump in dry ground. Where do you see the house of David in those dark days? It seems like the glory has long departed. But God says, no. Out of the dry ground, a branch is going to grow. The house of David, of which the promise was that he will sit on his throne forever and ever. That's the kingdom. That's the glorious Savior that is sung about. Jesus Christ. God in his mercy and in his faithfulness raises up this horn. Jesus Christ, already conceived in the womb of Mary, shortly is going to be born. And he's going to live for 30 years. Living always under the suffering of the God's wrath against our sins. And he's going to suffer and he's going to die on Calvary's cross. Salvation. The horn striking and destroying all of our enemies. Do you know those enemies, child of God? Do you know Satan who goes about like a roaring lion? Do you know the powers of darkness that tempt you continually? Do you know that enemy within you? That sinful nature that so easily listens to the devil and the powers of the darkness and the lure of the world. Oh, how we need this Savior who forgives us our sins and also delivers us from the power of sin. And what is the purpose of this horn that is given? Zacharias, filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." And the idea there of that connection and redeemed is for this purpose. He has visited, he has looked upon his people for this one purpose. To redeem them. Now many people, when they look at that word redemption, don't look deep enough. For the word redemption here has the idea of a payment by ransom. That is how God's people are redeemed, by a priceless payment given. This word of redemption that is used in our text is only used twice in all of Scripture. In Luke chapter 2, when Anna comes into the temple, she uses the same word when she sings about those who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. There is the idea here of buying back with a ransom. Paying the price to God whose justice is offended. God has to be paid back. the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God must be satisfied with the payment made. Oh, how God has visited, how he has looked upon us to redeem, to make that payment. Do you see in this Christmas season the payment, not silver or gold, but precious blood? Precious blood from the crown on his head, the thorns. Precious blood from the whip's lash on his back and on his body. The blood that flows from his hands in his feet nailed there to the cross. Blood that in the Old Testament was of sacrifice animals that looked forward to that precious Lamb of God on Calvary, who willingly gave his blood for you and me. Yes, beloved, that's blood theology and how we rejoice in it. How we will sing about the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it cleanses us from all of our sins. Oh, we, Psalm of verse 74, are delivered out of the hand of our enemies that we might serve him without fear. What is that deliverance? How many looked at this song of Zacharias and they think of political deliverance? Delivered from the tyranny of Rome or the cruelty of Herod. Is that what Zacharias was thinking about? And the answer is absolutely not. No, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's why in verse 77 he says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. How? By the remission of their sins. Eternal redemption. Eternal redemption through the blood of Christ Jesus. Zacharias sings this song. Blessed, worthy of God, of all praises, because he is a faithful and a gracious God. His name is John. God is gracious. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but God is faithful to himself. He is faithful to his word. And so he continues, verse 70 and following. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. You see, the song that we're looking at in our text, verses 68 and verse 69, is really just a summary of all that God had been saying from the dawn of history following. How are we saved? How would Adam and Eve, who fell into sin and were ashamed of their nakedness, how would they be covered? Only by the blood of animals that were shed so that they could have their clothing of skins of animals. What was the pleasing sacrifice of Abel? It was the sacrifice of one of the lambs out of his fold. How does Noah enter into again the new world? It is with a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for deliverance. Promises given through all these Old Testament saints and prophets, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord is good. And what we see described in the Old Testament becoming clearer and clearer is God's covenant relationship with his people established through the way of his Son, Jesus Christ. And not only the saving of his people, but the saving of the whole cosmos that we live in. With Noah, we see that the rainbow. Looking forward to the day when not only God's people are saved eternally, but God takes this earth and cleanses it with fire and has a new heavens and a new earth wherein there is nothing impure, but there is only Christ and his people and the new creation, which is now groaning for the redemption of God's people. Zacharias, when he sings this song, he says, believe me, this is what the Lord has promised to you. Believe me. As he spoke by the mouth of his prophets. And in verse 70, in that first little part, we can see a couple things. We can see, first of all, that Zacharias believed in verbal inspiration, didn't he? In a day that we live in, which many in the church no longer really believe that all of the Bible is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and only the Word of God, when from a higher criticism viewpoint, they try to determine what is the Word of God and what is culturally conditioned, what is baggage, over against that, how does Zacharias sing this song? Because he believes that God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. He's holding God's word when he had that word hid in his heart, the word of Scripture. We hide that word in our hearts because we believe it is the Word of God. That's why it's powerful. That's why it's authoritative for what we believe and for what we do. There's something else about this song when he says, as the Lord spoke by the mouth of his prophets, he believed in messianic prophecy. When he's quoting all these psalms in his song, yes, they are songs sung by David. David, a servant of the Lord, knew the Lord also to deliver him from his enemies. But he sees beyond David that David's just the type. As a David and as a Solomon defeated all their enemies and had a kingdom of peace and prosperity, they are types that fall away in their sins in order that standing before us is the great antitype, the horn of salvation, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has defeated all of his enemies once decisively on the cross. And Jesus Christ ushers in our feet on the way of peace, the kingdom that is everlasting. He will always be on the throne. And that is the promise that has come down again and again, coming clearer and clearer, till finally, now Zacharias at the end of the Old Testament says, these prophecies are fulfilled in the Christ. And it is also, he says, the fulfilling of God's holy covenant. He sees something here. In the Old Testament, yes, they were God's people, but God was hid, wasn't he? He was hid behind the veil in the Holy of Holies, and no man could enter into that most holy place except one man, the high priest, once a year because of sin. Sacrifices offered over and over and over again, blood shed over and over again. Now, the Lord has raised up a horn for our salvation in the house of David. Those types are going to go away. The covenant is realized. You and I. We don't have to go through a priest. You and I don't have a hidden God. You and I can go directly into heaven itself with our prayers and with our songs of praise, because Jesus Christ has made that way open. Oh, what a fulfillment of God's holy covenant. And that's just the beginning, folks. That's just the beginning, beloved. Now we worship by faith. But the day is coming when Jesus comes again, and then we will see him face to face, unendingly. That is why the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, that relationship with God, for me to die is gain. I go to be with Christ. And in the intermediate state, that's temporary. Only my soul is there. But that day when Jesus comes back, then body and soul rejoined in the new heavens and the new earth, being with Christ forever, reigning with Christ forever, sitting around the banquet table with our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you look forward to that day? Christ's first coming doesn't make you sing for his second coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Full of expectation, we have so much waiting for us. How do we know that this is going to take place? Verse 73, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham. Those Old Testament saints, the days were dark. And yet there was a remnant that would keep on hoping. They would keep on trusting. They would keep on looking to God to fulfill his promises. Why? Because God swore an oath by himself. I will do this. And that's the gospel, beloved. What God has sworn, no one can take away. He will perform it. He has performed it. He is performing it. And he will continue to perform it until the day of Christ coming again. God doesn't lie. So let us bow down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The horn raised up by God, the horn of salvation of the house of David. Born in a manger, born in poverty, born to suffer and die in order that we might be saved. Coming again. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for faith that is able to speak. Zacharias, lacking faith, was silent. Filled with the Holy Spirit, with faith, he sings a song. O Lord, work that faith and strengthen that faith in us, that we do not become worldly minded, that we do not sit in darkness, but rather our eyes are fastened upon him who is the horn of our salvation, upon Jesus Christ, and our eyes fastened on Christ. May our tongues be loosened and our mouths opened in songs of praises to this God of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to sing this evening part of that song of Zacharias. The back of our psalters on page 394. Now he bedews King David's root with blessings from the skies. He makes the branch of promise grow, the promised horn arise. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 2, and 7 of the Song of Zacharias.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.